I'm Ruthie, and I have a recorder. Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 5 to Out There. We'll meet people and plants around the streets and paths of Northampton, and we'll think about ways we can share the world. Here on Valley Free Radio, or archived online at weatherbeer.com/out there. Get out if you can. But if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if they live at us. Let them take the bus and need a sickle for us. They can have the Cadillac and T-1-2. But give me my rocket bicycle for two. And thanks for tuning in to Out There today. It's Wednesday, December 21st. Happy solstice. This is actually going to be, that reminds me, there's going to be a solstice event this evening at Arcadia Wildlife Sanctuary, open to the public, free and open to the public from 6 to 8. There's going to be a big bonfire. I hear it's a very family-friendly event. So for 2 days' show, I have a recorder, but it was full of files, and I couldn't figure out how to get it unfull till Alex helped me. So I have no new recordings for this week. No, that's, take that back. I have one with Deneen O'Rourke talking about the TD Bank Dapples defunding the pipeline action. And I'm going to play some music today. I think my creativity and my brain were kind of froze up too. So today I was emptying trash and recycling, and one of the newspapers that passed before my hands and eyes had pictures, an article about an action in Amherst at TD Bank in Amherst, I think over the weekend. I'm not sure exactly when it was, but four people got arrested. They locked themselves in there. And then, so I was doing my route up in the Crescent Street neighborhood, reading that paper, and then I stopped in to say hi to Francis Crowe, and then I ran into Deneen O'Rourke, who was there.
My name is Deneen O'Rourke. I was just a part of a group that shut down the TD Bank in Amherst on Friday, and we shut down the bank for 5.5 hours by having 2 lockdown teams, one in the front of the bank and one in the back.
Mm-hmm. How did you actually do it?
We had people in arm tubes and chains tied, chained to the doors, so the doors were unable to be opened. Mm-hmm. They were inside this foyer, so they were chained to the door entering the bank from the foyer and the door entering the outside from the foyer, so there was absolutely no way to get to them. The fire department eventually had to break the window and climb through to cut the chains.
Mm-hmm. And what was your message?
So we've been flyering and talking to people at TD Bank, talking to the bank managers in both Northampton and Amherst for months now, trying to get them to pull their money out of the Dakota Access Pipeline. And nothing has changed, so we felt like it was necessary for us to escalate and in order to convey the seriousness that we hold for this issue.
Do you know how many millions of dollars they're putting towards the pipeline?
Yeah, $365 million. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know that this is a tactic that works. There was this bank in Norway called DNB Bank. After being pressured for a while, they pulled out their money from Dapple. they still have one loan in the project, but it's possible they might pull that out too. Mm-hmm. And Wells Fargo also, after being pressured, agreed to meet with the tribal chairman, the Standing Rock Sioux. So we're really having an effect. It's mm-hmm. a really tangible way for people who aren't at Standing Rock to be in solidarity mm-hmm. in their communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what kind of responses or reactions have you gotten from people around town when you've been doing these actions?
You know, it's been mixed. It's difficult because we try really hard to not be confronting too much, like the bank workers and the people going into the bank. Like, they're not our enemies, you know. Our enemy is like TD Bank headquarters. So it was really important to us to like be really loving and kind to them, knowing that like this problem is systemic and it's not about an individual person. So we, on Friday, we had like hot chocolate and donuts mm-hmm. to hand out to people who were inconvenienced by us that day. And we, you know, we had a lot of really difficult conversations with people who were trying to bank, and that was hard. And I am still holding that in my heart and trying to, really honor the fact that we did inconvenience people that day. But at the same time, like, Indigenous people in this country have been inconvenienced, to say it very lightly, for the past 500 years. Mm-hmm. And I think not being able to bank one day is a very small effect of us trying to do this work.
There's lots of alternatives making alternatives, which I will read some of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was important to us too, because, you know, we're trying to really help people do this, not, you know, provide the solutions to the problem, the same way that we part of the larger climate movement as a whole is like, yes, we have to stop pipelines and stop power plants, but our message is so much stronger when we are also advocating for the solution.
Well, thanks. Anything else you want to say?
Miniwechoni, water is life. Mm-hmm.
That was Deneen O'Rourke. So I have a paper that lists about 30 of the banks that are funding the Dakota Access Pipeline. And there's plenty of credit unions and other banks to switch to, such as Northampton Cooperative Bank, UMass 5 College Credit Union, Freedom Credit Union, Alden Credit Union, Florence Bank, East Hampton Savings Bank, and Greenfield Savings Bank. And this paper that Deneen gave me, here's just like a couple paragraphs update on what's going on with the pipeline. On Sunday, December 5th, the Obama administration announced that the U.S. Army Corps would not grant Dakota Access LLC the last remaining easement it would need to drill under the Missouri River at Lake Oahe to complete construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline. The statement made by the U.S. Army Corps implies they will conduct a limited environmental impact statement on the river crossing and explore possibilities for alternative routes. This is a victory for the water protectors at Standing Rock, but the fight is not over. A response statement from Energy Transfer Partners and Sunoco Logistics, the companies building the pipeline, they're continuing to drill without a permit, saying the corporations remain, this is a quote, they remain fully committed to ensuring that this vital project is brought to completion and fully expect to complete construction of the pipeline without any additional rerouting in and around Lake Oahe. Nothing the Obama administration has done today changes that in any way. That's a response statement from the companies building the pipeline. Anyway, so if you have money in TD Bank or lots of other big banks like Bank of America, Citibank, Chase, PNC, U.S. Bank, Wells Fargo, et cetera, consider switching to a local bank. Next on Out There. I'm going to read something, a little story I wrote. So today is a solstice, and winter and ice are on the minds of many. Before I get to my little story that I made up, I was doing my pedal people route the other day, Monday, and it was really like so icy from all the freezing, the rain and stuff that had frozen Sunday. And I was going down a hill, making a turn. I was going down South Main Street, making a right turn into Hinckley Street. And there was patches of ice all over. And I didn't make the turn quite slow enough or soon enough so that my bike was okay. Like, I kept my balance and made the turn. But I think when the trailer hit the ice as I was turning, it just sort of slid sideways across the ice and like hit a bumpy patch, and like several tubs of trash and recycling went shooting out the sides. And I heard the rattle of cans and bottles, and I looked behind me, I was like, ugh, my load squirted out. But when I looked behind me, then I hit an ice patch, and then I went down. But then I got up, and then there was a motorist that was coming in the other direction, and she was very kind, friendly, and she stopped and she said, are you okay? And I was looking at the cans and bottles in the street trying to figure out how they had gotten there, because it wasn't like the trailer had flipped. And I was like, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what happened to my load. And she said, well, you probably hit a patch of ice and things weren't balanced right. And I thought, by golly, I think you're right. anyway, so here's a story I wrote. a very long time ago, there was a great rumbling in the earth's core that shook the fishes of the deep. Many swam to the shores and dragged themselves on their fins into the forests, where they hid amongst the old fallen leaves and branches. It was springtime, and they were hopeful about possibilities for their future, but a fish can't live in the forest with scales and fins, so over time, they shed them and started growing fur and arms and legs. But when fall came, and the nights started getting cooler, they wondered what would happen to them. They missed the familiar world they had left behind and thought of returning to the sea. A few of the first morphing creatures dragged themselves back towards the water and leapt in, but their scaly fur got wet and tangled, and they could no longer swim deftly through the currents and seaweed and half-rotten branches at the bottom of the lake. Those who stayed behind on land saw this and wondered what their fate would be. Their fur was still thin, and their fins still visible to the predators of the forest. Many tried burning off their scales. Some tried hanging by their arms and legs to stretch them longer, and some took fur growth hormones, and others just moved into caves to live. But none of these actions fed the longing in their souls to be their real selves, which, honestly, they didn't know if it was their past selves, or their future selves, or their present selves. Meanwhile, the nights and the days kept getting colder, and more famals, or mammish, or fishals, struggled with the decision to stay in the forest or attempt to return to the water. One morning, one cold morning, a fishal who had decided to return crashed to the edge of the lake to throw themselves in, but when they leapt from the shore, a funny thing happened. There was no splash, just a quiet, pattering echo as they slid across the surface of the water. They kept sliding, kept gliding, all the way to the other side of the lake. They couldn't get in. They leapt off the other shore, too, but the ice was too thick. At first they panicked when they felt the impenetrable, clear wall under their fin feet, so they decided to return to the forest and dig a tunnel through the earth to get back to the water under the ice. But the ground was frozen, too. What would they do? Well, it was a long winter. A long, hard winter. They were often cold and sad. But when spring finally came, they found that their fur was thick and shiny, and not only did they have arms and legs, but hands, fingers, and toes too. And that is why the earth and water freeze every winter, so the creatures can't even think about going back. They must change. But on warm summer nights, when the moon shines off the lake just right, the ripples from the water reflect in their eyes like shimmering scales. You're listening to Out There. This is Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. That was a little story I wrote on a whim one morning last week. This is Big Bad Voodoo Daddy with Mr. Heat Miser.
Mr. friends call me Snow Mother. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch. I'm too much. Ooh, I'm too much, baby. I'm much too much. Ooh. Thank you. I never want to know a day that's under 60 degrees. I'd rather have it 80, 90, 100 degrees. Oh, some like it hot, but I like it really hot.
He's Mr. Heat Miser. He's Mr. Sun. He's Mr. Heat Blister. He's Mr. 101.
They call me Heat Miser. Whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch. I'm too much.
Too much.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. Now I'm going to play a song from Robinson and Roe, The Longest Winter.
He came from the north and he brought the snow, snow, snow. In the deepest of drifts that billowed against the door, door, door. The longest winter I had ever known, known, known. We kept each other warm in the snow, snow, snow. Outside, he said we should go, 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 to see how the ice flows piled against the shore, shore, shore. Moving water hardened into stone, stone, stone. Oh, how my blood it rushed. Set it glow, glow, glow. Maple and ash to cheer us against the storm, storm, storm. And in the evening, flames turned into smoldering coals. We kept each other warm in the glow, glow, glow.
He whispered my name. Lay me down slow, slow, slow. get him down. He pressed me against the floor, floor, floor. Dying embers in his eyes, they shone, shone, shone. Breathless the whole night through, we moved slow, slow, slow.
Days stretched their arms, the south winds did blow, blow, blow. In through the open window, in through the open door. And just like a bird that can't be kept inside a nest, he buttons up his vest. He's flown, he flies, he goes goodbye, he knows that I can. Inside my mind, the cold wind there, it blows, blows, blows.
That was Robinson and Rowe with The Longest Winter. I have something else from today's Files of Paper Recycling. This is from a New York Times article from Sunday, December 18th. And this is about ice swimming. The sport of ice swimming is attracting interest in spite of its dangers, or perhaps because of them. And there's a picture of this place in Germany, this castle on a hill with, like, frosty weather. It's 29 degrees outside, and it looks kind of like a swimming pool with lanes, and there's people are racing. It says, it was 29 degrees outside, and as the seven women descended a set of ladders to touch the water, their clipped exhalations, whoo, 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 sliced through the quiet on the jetty. Moments later, there was an electronic beep, then a collective splash. And with a spurt of cheers from a few dozen spectators, the first meet of the International Ice Swimming Association's new season was underway. Yeah, they plunged into water measured at 39 degrees. It's cold. Wow. One of the women who was swimming, she says, when she was asked about the weather, she said, it's fine. There's no wind. And they swim like a kilometer or so in the water. And sometimes it does lead to health problems. But it makes pedal people or your average just like being outside in the cold seem pretty easy to me. Okay, so next I have... Oh yeah, I wanted to mention about the Pioneer Valley Workers Center Sanctuary in the Streets campaign. So I've been going to some workers' center meetings, and the Sanctuary in the Streets, we're trying to make a hotline for to support immigrants who may be under threat from ICE. This you can get connected through the Pioneer Valley Workers Center Facebook page, I think. Come to meetings. The next meeting is Monday, January 9th at 6 p.m. The meetings are every other Monday, pretty much, at the Worker Center on Hampton Hampton Court, I forget. It's across from the parking garage in downtown Northampton. I forget what else I was going to say on that. But, oh, I got something else that I want to read that I wrote. And it is, this happened a while ago, a few years ago. So one fine summer day, I was sitting in Pulaski Park with a bike stand offering tools and support to help people fix their bikes. There was a steady trickle of people coming by with their bikes. And then this woman came over and she asked me what I was doing and how it worked. And I told her, I've got a pump, chain lube, basic tools for adjusting brakes or gears. Maybe people have a bike where something's not working right or it's making a funny noise. I can help them think through how to figure it out. Or maybe they just want to learn about how to maintain their bike. You got a bike? No, she said. But she wanted to know. She said, how much do you charge? I said, oh, it's free. She looked a little disturbed and said, you should charge something for your time. You shouldn't just give away your services like that. You're worth more. You're devaluing yourself. I was flabbergasted. I was speechless. It was like we existed in two separate realities. One where time is money, and one where time is time. I found a paper in the recycling today where the quote that jumps out at me says, the model neoliberal citizen is one who strategizes for her or himself among various social, political, and economic options, not one who strives with others to alter or organize these options. The ideal of the fundamentally self-interested individual curtails any collective transformation of the conditions of existence. And some examples of how this manifests: gated communities for concerns about security and safety, bottled water for concerns about water purity, and private schools or vouchers for failing public schools. Oh, that's all I have on that. It's just, biking and recycling paper makes me think of things. And I have one more thing from the files from the newspaper. This is actually from today's Gazette. Man wins okay to wear goat horns in driver's license photo from Augusta, Maine. An ordained pagan priest finally has gotten the okay to sport goat horns in his Maine driver's license photo. Maine resident Philan Moonsong said that unless he's sleeping or bathing, he always wears his goat horns, which serve as his spiritual antenna and help him educate others about paganism. And it goes on. Another song. I'm gonna play some Dire Straits.
Well, it's a strange old game. You learn it slow. One step forward and it's back. Sometimes you're a fool in love.
wonderful was that you could buy. Sometime you're the winning machine, sometime you're the bug, yeah. Sometime it all comes together, baby. Sometime you're fully in love. Sometime you're the Louisville slugger, baby. Sometime you're the bomb. Sometime it all comes together, baby. Sometime you're gonna lose it all. Sometime you're the winning machine, sometime you're the bug. Sometime it all comes together, baby. Sometime you're fully in love. Sometime you're the Louisville slugger, baby. Sometime you're the bomb. Sometime it all comes together, baby. Sometime you're gonna lose it all.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, 103.3 FM in Northampton. I'm your host, Shruti Woodring. You can listen to archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there. I think there's like 85 past shows that I've done. And next, I'm going to talk about some trees that I like. This is actually from a past show, but I think everything's still relevant.
Another tree that's special to me is the white pine tree in the backyard where I live. And the tree is special being a white pine tree, but it's also special because of some of the alterations that we've made around it. Here's Alex Jarrett to talk about a few of them.
Alex, it's like a giant Christmas tree in our backyard. This white pine, it's a tree I love, and one of the really special things about it is the bike path phone that you've attached to it. Can you describe the bike path phone?
Well, it's just an old-style landline phone that's sitting out here with a little handmade, not booth, but just a little shelter for the phone itself.
Out here on the bike path.
Yep, out here on the bike path in Florence.
Or the rail trail, sorry.
Multi-use path. and it's under a sort of a timber post and beam shelter. And it's you can call anywhere in the U.S. and Canada for free. And many people take advantage of that.
What else can the phone, can you do on the phone?
So there's all sorts of, there's a little plaque here that talks about all the different things you can call that aren't in the regular phone system. One of them is you can call for the weather forecast, or if you want to know what time it is. You can call the monkeys, and maybe you'll have to do that too at some time on your show. And that's just a bunch of screaming monkeys will come back at you.
So how is this phone wired? You pick up the receiver, then where does your voice go?
Well, there's a wire that goes back into the house, and then in the house there's a little device that converts the regular old, analog landline phone signal into an internet signal, voice over IP, and then it goes over the internet to a server, and then eventually back to the regular phone system to complete the call wherever you need to go.
So something inside has to always be on, like the computer or something, or what has to be on to keep the system going?
Yeah, it takes some electricity, but it's actually running about 8 phone lines, or it can run 8 phone lines. So it runs all the phone lines for our house and business and things like that, too.
So the bike path phone system, can you explain that? Because isn't Pedal People on that in some way, the system that you've created?
Yeah, there's a lot of different businesses that are part of the system. In 2006, that's when this bike path phone was installed. And I was just playing around with what you could do with computers and phones, and eventually realized that it made a lot of sense to run my own phone system. And then also I could help out other people like Valley Time Trade and the Valley Alliance of Worker Co-ops and places like that with just a simple voicemail and menu systems and things like that.
Well, I don't even know the questions to ask because this system is so boggling to me, but I just know that it's pretty amazing to have a phone out by the bike path. I know I use it quite a bit when I don't want to go inside and use the landline. Do other people use it?
Yeah, there's a lot of people. I think there's a lot of people who use it who they've run out of minutes on their cell phones, and or they don't have a cell phone or can't afford one, so they'll come here and use it. And then also it's just a nice place to sit and make phone calls. I guess most people, you know, who have cell phones can find lots of nice places to sit and make phone calls. But I guess it harkens back to days when there were payphones around, and it's not at all difficult to set up one of these things. Technically, it's more just, I guess, maintaining it. In the past, we had a lot of trouble with people vandalizing it. But at some point, I think we kind of realized that it was really just one person who was vandalizing it over and over. But that person has stopped. So this same phone has sat here for quite a while now. And
this 2006, you said, right?
No, but I mean this same physical phone. No one's tried to destroy it in a long time.
Like a couple years, or?
Yeah, this one might have been here for a couple years.
Sometimes the cord pops out, and people will bring extra cords by?
Yeah.
Or do you get, donations for the phone sometimes, or how do you pay for it?
Oh, well, there isn't much in the way of paying for it these days, because it's run for free through Google Voice. International calls still cost money, so whenever we get a donation, sometimes people will give a donation, and they will then we'll put money on an account, which whenever someone makes a call, then it's drawn from that account.
So it says on the plaque here that you can create a free voicemail account.
Yes, that's part of the system too. If you want, voicemail, which is then an extension off a public number, then you can go through the process here and do that. And you can check it from anywhere or online, too. You don't have to just do it from here.
Do you have to come to this physical phone to create a free voicemail account on this number?
No, actually, you can call an access number, which is 413-825-6795, and then just dial 99, and you will be able to create your own voicemail account if you want, without ever having to come to this particular phone.
Something else I like to use that number for, 825-6795, is to then dial extension 051 to get the Northampton weather forecast. So if someone calls out on this phone, they're sitting here on the bench or on the chair, and they call a friend on the cell phone, what number shows up on their friend's cell phone or on their friend's caller ID?
It's a number from Google Voice that comes up. And actually, they can call back, but I think the ringer is broken on this phone, so it will never ring. But if people call back and happen to pick up at the right moment, they can talk to someone. A lot of times people will send text messages back, like, "Who is this?" Or "I'm busy." And so the text messages obviously can't come to this phone, so I just see them as an email message. So that's interesting. And then sometimes people call back and leave voicemail messages, which are effectively public messages that anyone can check, because it's entirely a public phone. So there's been some interesting messages that have been left there.
Can you think of any?
No. I mean, sometimes, you know, just there's sort of a lot of sad things. It's just sort of like stories about people wanting to reach each other or having problems with each other or, you know, hoping that, like, there was someone who called them and they don't know how to get back in touch with them. And so they're hoping that, you know, someone can connect them. But we don't really have any idea generally, because they're just someone who stopped by here.
What if you call 911 from this phone? What happens?
Well, it redirects you to 911, but I'd also will ring a phone in our house and say someone is calling 911 from the bike path phone, and then so we'll run out and see if there's an actual emergency, so we can actually respond much sooner. But often it's people being cranky, so sometimes we'll catch them and be like, "Why'd you call 911? We know you did."
yeah, it's usually children running away by the time I get out here. Once I saw a police officer on bicycle up here on the phone. He had come to check out where these 911 calls were coming from.
Yeah. So now they know.
Anything else you'd like to say about your motivations for putting this here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's... I'm just sad by the lack of payphones these days and how, you know, you have to have a cell phone often to be able to travel and, you know, be able to reach people, you know, be able to have a phone. And so I wanted to create an opportunity still for payphones to exist, or non-payphones in this case. Unfortunately, it hasn't really taken off. I have on the website for it that I'll help anyone else set it up, but I don't know of anyone who's actually set one up, although some people have been excited about the idea.
What do you think's prohibitive about it?
I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of work and running a wire to a place on your property, but I think a lot of it is about a place on your property that anyone can, or that you're inviting people to come to and use a phone. And you know, sometimes people get pretty rowdy out here having big arguments on the phone, and I mean, obviously they could do that anywhere if they have a cell phone. It's asking a lot of people to invite people into their space. I think in my experience, it's been, you know, vast majority of those experiences are good ones, and meeting new people and having people be thankful for it. And then there's some people who will try to take things out on it. So that can be frustrating and sort of spoil it. But yeah, we haven't let it spoil it. It's been, you know, running for 8 years now.
Do you want to say anything more about the bench? Do you want to describe the bench a little bit that the phone is under, or the roof, the bench area?
Sure. It's a cob bench, so that means it's made out of clay, sand, and straw. And then there's a base of old sidewalk pieces, concrete pieces that's, you know, actually put together with concrete. But then on top of that, the place you actually sit on is just made of those natural materials. And it's had many incarnations over the years. You know, originally we put like glass bottles embedded in it and a mirror, and those ended up getting broken, so we've kind of made a less destructible form. So it's got a lot of like things carved in it and such, and every few years we resurface the bench. And so last night actually someone gave me some hints about how to make the surface harder, which would be helpful.
And how do people know that this is a place that they're welcome to come be?
Well, there's a sign in many, many languages. Please seat yourself in English and Japanese and German, Urdu and Spanish and Hebrew and French and several others. So that hopefully people can get the idea that they should come sit down.
Have you had any problems with people being under the influence or causing trouble out here?
Sometimes we've had to ask people to be quiet or go move on. Sometimes I think it's annoyed the neighbors to have people here. But I think overall, you know, the positive outweighs any negative.
There's also a little mushroom toadstool looking bird bath over here. Do you want to say anything about that?
It's a memorial for a man who died over here. His family asked us, or asked if we they could put that up, and it's actually not technically on our property. It's the city's or National Grid property, but it's nice to have that there.
Is any of this on... Whose property is any of this on?
Well, it's sort of a mix of properties.
Let's leave it at that. That was Alex Jarrett talking about the bike path phone system in the backyard. Again, if you want to set up a free voicemail account through this system, just dial 413-825-6795. And if you want to check the weather in Northampton, the weather forecast, same number, but extension 051. Oh, I have another little tree story from Florence. So not too long ago, I was walking up the bike path to downtown Florence, and between my house and Chestnut Street, I saw next to the path, like at the bottom of a slope where people throw their leaves, there is this plastic ficus tree in a pot, maybe 5 feet tall. And I thought, that's odd. Did someone throw it out with their leaves and not realize it was plastic? But anyway, stranger things have happened, so I kept on about my business. And then later that afternoon, I was home, and I was hanging out by the white pine, by the bike path, talking to my friend Dennis, and he had that tree there. And he said, yeah, I found this ficus tree. It was sitting up the path. And I thought, I'm going to take that home because that's a perfect match for the other plastic ficus tree I have in my apartment. And right then his friend Jace walked up, and Jace said, yeah, I was coming home from Cooper's Corner last night, and I saw it sitting by the dumpster out there by Cooper's. Then I picked it up, and I thought, that'll look nice in my apartment. And so I started walking down the bike path with it, and I got partway down the path, and I was just noticing how pretty the trees and woods were, and I thought it would make a nice picture. And so I set the tree down, and I took a picture on my cell phone, and I texted it to my girlfriend and told her I was coming home with this tree, and she said, yeah, don't bring that thing home. And so I just left it right there.
All right, that's the stories from the rail trail in Florence. The white pine that the bike path bench and phone are under, that's like such a perfect Christmas tree or like holiday tree with the amazing gifts underneath it of shelter, etc. Shelter, welcome, etc. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. I have another little story from the bike path bench area. So there's a pump there as well, a bike pump. And Monday when I was doing my pedal people route, I was at the transfer center, and a neighbor walks up to me, and he said, do you all ever think about putting in a more sturdy pump or more durable pump? Because the one that's there is very often breaking, and I'm always trying to fix it and keep it fixed. And I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, we've been talking about doing like a GoFundMe campaign or something to try and raise money to get like a bike fix-it station, kind of like they have at River Valley Market or off of the Damon Road parking lot by the rail trail there, where it bolts into the ground on a concrete pad, and it's got some bike tools and a really sturdy pump. Anyway, and the neighbor said, oh, well, let me know, because I'm part of I have connections to this fundraising fund, and I can help pay for that like easily. And that was exciting news. I'm going to play, this is Mumford and Sons doing the Paul Simon cover.
I'm just a poor boy, though my story's seldom told. I squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, still the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. When I left my home and my family, I was no more than a boy in the company of strangers. In the quiet of the railway stations, running scared, laying low, seeking out the poor quarters where the ragged people go looking.
looking for the places only they will know. Oh, lie to lie. Asking only workman's wages, I come looking for a job, but I get no offers. Just to come on from the whores on 7th Avenue. I do declare there were times when I was so lonesome, I took some comfort there. Then I'm laying out in my winter clothes and wishing I was home, going home. The New York City winters aren't bleeding me, going home. Oh, la, 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 la. A boxer and a fighter by his trade, and he carries the reminder of every glove that laid him down and cut him till he cried out in his anger and his shame. I am leaving, I am leaving, but the fighter still remains.
Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. Thanks for listening to Out There here on Valley Free Radio. And don't forget Dwayne's show on Fridays, My Generation.
Join me, Dwayne Rennie, every Friday from 2 to 4. The rock down memory lane with music from the 70s. Only here on Valley Free Radio.
So on Dwayne's show, you will not have to listen to Christmas music, but on my show, for Dwayne, my loyal listener, this one's for you. This is The Christmas Can-Can by Straight No Chaser.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Christmas Can-Can, lyrics and arrangement by Walter Chase.
Uh-oh, sorry.
Remember?
Oh, let me just fill the empty air for 1 minute while I get this queued up again. I think here we go.
Christmas Can-Can.
Oh,
Christmas, Christmas time is here, and Christmas songs you love to hear, thoughts of joy and hope and cheer, but mostly shopping, shopping, shopping. Christmas, Christmas time is here, the sleigh bells and the red-nosed deer, songs and songs we love to hear, all played 1,000 times each year. Heard this same song 20 times, and it's only holiday.
Joy to the world.
Christmas, Christmas time is here, and Christmas songs you love to hear. Thoughts of joy and hope and cheer, but mostly shopping, shopping, shopping.
Christmas season starting sooner every year. It's October, stores with plastic Christmas trees. Ransack the mall, shop until you lose your mind. Spike the eggnog, sit back and watch Rudolph, Frosty, Tiny Tim, and Scrooge the Grinch, or Charlie Brown. It's time to do the Christmas cake.
Not going to do the kick line.
All you need is a tree, some lights, about 1,000 presents. Wrap them up and pray for snow. Run to your closet, find your Christmas sweater, screaming carols all the way.
La 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 la.
Made all the way to California. It's the Christmas cake and Halloween to Christmas Day. It's the most wonderful time of year. We're running mad with Christmas cheer. Hey, what's troubling you, my friend?
It's not fair if you're Jewish, Jewish.
Not fair if you're Jewish, Jewish. Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. I made it out of play.
You realize that Christmas ain't the only holiday.
Boy.
Hey, he's right who made these laws. Look, wait, here comes Santa Claus.
Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. Santa, 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 Santa. Hey, Santa, do the can-can. Help him if you can-can. Join in the parade.
I'm gonna go buy some Chinese food.
All you need is a tree, some lights, about 1,000 presents. Wrap them up and break for snow. Run into your closet, find your Christmas sweater, screaming carols all the way. France, all the way to Indiana, it's the Christmas can-can, that's the end.
Wait for our ending, we should share this holiday.
Havana, give a happy Hanukkah to you.
A happy Hanukkah to you.
A happy Hanukkah to you. A Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, and also Kwanzaa. Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, and Merry Kwanzaa.